a podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. This is Manna.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Manna, a podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. I'm your host, Jeff Peterson. Now, none of the guys that you're going to meet on this podcast would consider themselves to be extraordinary, but it is their humble, holy way of living that is exactly what makes them extra to me, and I'm very excited for you to meet them. Now, we've had a range of guests on the show. For those that have been listening, we've had a range of guests on the show that have had a range of jobs, and we typically don't speak a lot about, you know, day jobs. But today's guest, we're going to make an exception because today's guest's job is both interesting and I'm guessing pretty integral in defining and helping people become really comfortable in living in their own skin, which I think kind of fits with our vibe here on Manna. He is an identity expert who has worked with a wide range of companies and leaders of all types in commerce and education, nonprofit churches, and all around helping them better understand who they are. So that is very interesting. But it's actually not, we're going to touch on that today, but it's not really about what today's guest does for a living that inspires me, even though we will talk about that. But instead, it's how he goes about both his day job and just his whole sense of being and relating to people. He is a consummate listener. He's a guider. He is a confidant. If people still had Sherpas in this world, he'd be a Sherpa. He's a voice that that always tells you what you need to hear, even when you maybe don't want to hear it. And I just can't wait for you to meet him. So without any further ado, welcome to today's Man Up Man, John Jensen. Hey, John.
Jeff, how are you? Good to see you.
Good to see you, and good to be here. So folks, so Manna listeners, this is, we've only taken Manna on the road a couple times. We went to a fish house for one episode, went to a backyard, but we came all the way to Denver, Colorado here for John Jensen. This is John's hometown, and We couldn't get John to come to Manna, so Manna had to come to John.
Well, and I'm looking out your hotel window, and lots of mountains, and it's inspiring. So I'm glad to be here. Thank you for including me, and let's just see what we got.
That's right. That's right. Well, I'm very, very, very honored that you're here. So so we will get to you, because I want to learn about your own Manna-ness, if you will. But as I said in your introduction, you have such an interesting calling that has really, and you've dedicated a life of helping other people get a sense of their being. And I'm guessing that along the way, or I'm guessing slash hoping, that faith has likely factored into that. And so I thought it'd be, let's just start there. How have you, across all of these, men and women, obviously, and even companies, how have you seen faith, or how present has faith been in helping people really understand kind of who they are?
I don't know that it was right away. I think when you start your own business, and I've been doing, my thing for 20 plus years or something, my whole thing just revolves around people presenting themselves, at their best, getting people in a position to receive them instead of resisting them. And I do a lot of coaching, and it's been said about me that I give bad news in a very nice way. Mm-hmm. And what I want is just people to receive other people. So they come to me and I listen to them and I watch them and I film them and I coach them. And what I always say to them, so you're asking about faith, what is just in the past 5 or 6 years been really apparent when I'm coaching someone is, I just want to get to the truth. And you may not love it, but we're going to have a talk about it. And it's the truth as I see it.
Yeah.
And, my day-to-day stuff now, if I were to start a ministry, and someday I might, and but I think about this all the time because I think way, way too much. But the ministry, in fact, have you ever just sat and doodled and just written stuff down on a piece of paper? And I always doodle the same thing. I write J321, J for John, the book of John, and 321. And I had to write this down because I wanted to make sure that I didn't mess it up. But it it's about truth. And it goes on to start to say, you know, evil hates the light, right? Because evil people are exposed by the light. And so they don't like that. But John 3:21 says this. It says, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been seen in the sight of God. And I always just picture myself in this field just to say, you know what? This is who I am. Yeah. Screw it. I mean, for better or for worse, this is who I am, and this is the way I live my life. And the faster people know that, they're going to respond to me. So when I'm coaching someone, I just want them to get to the truth, because sometimes you can tell when it's not. Sometimes you can tell when they're sugarcoating something, when something is just not real and it's not authentic, it's not sitting right, and I become bothered. Yeah. And then I'm just going, I'm not buying it at all. Yeah. So when you say, what is faith and how does it come into my coaching and my business? I just want to get down to the truth, because there's nothing else. It doesn't lie. The truth fears no question. And when it's present, beautiful, beautiful things happen, and doubt has a tendency to leave. And once doubt is gone, oh my gosh, now we can make some headway.
That is so cool. So how often then? I mean, so, and what I love about, by the way, very impressive drop in the scripture. That's fantastic. And what it reminds me of, there's so many, sort of commonplace adages, you know, that actually have roots in scripture. And of course, right now I can't think of any, but you know, there's so many things that, you know, we've sort of like adopted over the years. And then, you know, when you actually look back to where they come from, they're like, oh my gosh, you know, Jesus said that or something. So with something like that, you know, that message of truth and light, you know, is obviously very literally scripture based. How often do you find yourself, or do you find your clients sort of like revealing or kind of, you know, becoming more aware of sort of an undergirding of faith, you know? So, you know, whether they call it that or identify it as that as such initially, is there, have you had moments where there's almost just like it's this realization, like that where the source is actually coming from, you know?
When they realize that there's no hiding from it,
yeah,
then it becomes really strong. And I say, hey, it's biblical, but let's just get right down to it. And, you know, because my thing is to teach people how to present themselves and to make sure that they're getting a response. And I said, when you tell the truth, and when you get right down to it, people are going to lean in, and they're just going to be all over it because they can feel it.
Yeah.
So we're here at a conference, and you know, without getting too much into that, we heard a speaker yesterday, and he was a young man who was talking about depression, and it was truth. And what someone said on Twitter about him afterwards, she said to him, and she was another high school student, she said, you know what, you are light. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, even in his darkness, and he articulated it so beautifully, but even in his darkness, you could see that light, and it was coming through, and he was so brave, and it was so true, and that room was so quiet. I mean, we had other people that were speaking that, you know, were up and motivational and everything else, but nothing quiets a room like, you know, like the truth.
Yeah.
And he got there. So that's all I want people to do. It's like, yeah, I said, you know, you like being out in a field, it's like, there's nowhere to hide, and you might as well just say, screw it. This is, I mean, you have to, yeah, just, this is who I am. Right. And, my gosh, I'm so far, yeah, from perfect, and I just screw up all the time. But hey, if you let people know it and get out in front of it, they'll respond, yeah, to it.
So how did you find your truth? Like what you operate with such, and we're going to talk about charisma in a second here. And even though it's a fairly stigmatized word, it actually has roots in some very deep kind of literally Holy Spirit, kind of, delivery. But how did you find yours?
The hard way, I think. Just since we're talking about what we just talked about, the whole depression thing, my wife, Michelle, who's awesome, and she struggles badly with depression, bipolar depression, which is just the most awful thing you could be afflicted with, and not just for her, but for the entire family. I mean, it's not necessarily, you know, predictable. It's not necessarily kind, and it does take away from who she is. So the further we get into that, and the more it tends to affect our family, and I have two boys and they're both off to college this year. The more we get a hold of that, it takes you somewhere as a man, and you're saying, okay, this is harsh and this is tough. And a lot of things happen to really blow up a household and blow up a family. And at some point you're going to say, you know what? I need to turn to something else to get my worth and to get my value. And I think I'm just saying thankfully right now, you know, for me, it wasn't booze. It wasn't drugs, you know, it wasn't stripped joints or porn or the arms of another woman. I just found the only way that I could find peace is the Bible and it's the Word. And so over the past, you know, number of years, that is where I've turned. And the more difficult it gets sometimes, the more deeply I dive into it. And I'm thankful that there is truth right in front of me that I can go to. Yeah.
Did you grow up with it, or like, how did you, I mean, it's so wonderful and what a great testimony did somebody sort of like, you know, nudge you in that direction, or was that always, has that always been part of your life and it just became even more kind of animated,
You know, it always was. I'm a recovering Lutheran, I would say. I grew up in the Lutheran church. My mom was the church secretary for 25 years.
Okay.
I was in church all the time, even not on Sundays, just all the time I was in church. But I grew up with cartoon Jesus. You know, we watched film strips and I looked at it and I watched it and I said, yeah, those are good animations. But sometimes the more you see the film strip, the more you wonder I wonder about that. I wonder if that guy was real. But the more you dig into it. So it was always with me and always a part of me.
Yeah.
But as things got real in life, I began to understand just how real that was. And as I began to uncover it and really get to know what it's all about, it is the only thing that brings me peace. And, I think what we all search for is the joy of life and the peace. And that's kind of where I have to go to get it. But I'm glad it's there.
Yeah.
And, it's about the only thing that's worked for me.
Well, in your own, you know, if you, whether you call it empathy or whatever, but, you know, you are so like quite literally blessed with this ability, like I said in the intro, to connect, to draw things out from people. I mean, you've done it with me. And so now, you know, the fact that you have this line of work, you know, where it's like a legit gig. To me, it's beyond a convenience. You know, it's beyond a, hey, I happen to be good at this. You know, and so I brought up the word charisma earlier. Because I think a lot of people who would meet you, because you're a very charismatic person, you connect instantaneously with people. And for those who don't know John, or are just meeting him now, quite literally, the range of people that you will make a connection with is just staggering. Actually, earlier in the summer, we had a little mini man, and I was talking to a young man who's just very, very impressive and kind of beyond his years, and charisma was a word that kind of came to mind, and I kind of felt bad saying that he had charisma because it just sounds smarmy. But when I looked up the etymology of the word charisma, it comes from charism, which is a word that denotes basically a special kind of power bestowed upon somebody from the Holy Spirit. So it's actually a gift from God, and so which for you then it's so appropriate because it's like you're using this gift that you've been blessed with for good, for truth. And so anyway, very long setup to the question that I want to ask is how, you talk about being a minister, but I would contend that the work you're doing is ministry. It is a ministry of sorts where even if a client may not walk out of a room with a stronger sense of, you know what, I am who I am because of Jesus, you are helping people develop an awareness that, you know, likely if it doesn't, you know, sort of you know, convert, and I'm using that word with all our air quotes, if it's not an immediate conversion, it's getting them down that path. And do you think about that at all, or is that a little too heavy for a, you know, kind of a day job? It's not too heavy,
but it brings me to something that's, I haven't thought about this story for a long time, but so because of what I do and I speak and I do all that stuff, you have to write some books. The first book I ever wrote was a little book called Lost and Found, everything I lost in my life and what I found in the search for why. I lost my little turtle as he slowly walked away. I found he wasn't walking away from me. He was walking toward water, opportunity. I mean, just so the whole book was filled with these little teeny things. You know, I lost my mobility when my babysitter put up a fence. She wasn't trying to make me mad. Yeah. She was trying to keep me safe. Yeah. You know, just like what I found after I lost something. So anyway,
keep going.
Is that your phone, Jeff?
That's the phone.
Wow.
The phone.
I mean, no, if that was my phone, I'd feel bad.
Yeah. No.
But now I just feel bad for you.
Yeah, exactly. I know. Continue.
So my mom and dad I'm a North Dakotan, and my mom and dad were down in Phoenix, and they're living there in the wintertime. And my mom says, hey, could you come down to our church in Phoenix and sell some books? And because we're trying to raise money for an organ. And I'm like, like a kidney or something? No, she goes, no, an organ for the church. And I said, sure. I said, I don't know how many people are going to want to buy this book. She goes, oh, it'll be great. Maybe you can come and give a little bit of a talk, and then you can sell your books and we can raise some money for this organ. I said, that'd be great. But then I get there, and then the day before, the pastor, she says, the pastor wants to meet you. And I said, oh, okay, that'd be great. You know, he comes over and we have an iced tea or something like that. And he's coming over and he goes, hey, your mother said that at one point you would consider joining the ministry. Just a stumper.
A sting operation is what this was.
But in my, you know, so my first thought was what kind of trouble must I have been in to tell my mom I was thinking about joining the ministry? Because I just like, but then I didn't want to lie, or I didn't want to make her seem like a liar. So I said, yeah, well, of course, there was that one time, you know, it was a strange day.
Yeah.
And he goes, wow, that's, you know, that is awesome. You know? And then we talked about that. And the next day I go, I give the talk, we sell the books and we raise some money and all that stuff. And he comes up to me and he goes, gosh, you know, just kind of listening to you. He goes, now I'm wondering if maybe you're not going to join the ministry. He goes, I might've been wrong on that. And I said, yeah, you know, probably not so much. And he goes, well, just remember this. He goes, no matter what you do and what you say and what you write, he said, you will always be your own private ministry. And he said, I just hope you take that seriously. And you know what? I did. And I think about that all the time, is that everywhere we go, you know, how we present ourselves to the world, we are that ministry. And what you know, what's the old saying? We may be the only Bible some people ever read,
that.
Right?
I love that, yeah.
So I do think about it, and you know, it's just, you know, you talk about the Holy Spirit, and you just wonder how long that Holy Spirit has been hanging around with you. I'm a part of a men's Bible study, and we just did a whole study on the Holy Spirit. And what I found is that the Holy Spirit is a person, and the Holy Spirit is not some just thing hanging out there. It's a person. And if you don't access the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will still be there, but get an attitude and not respond to you. And I'm being very serious, and it's all scripturally based.
Yeah.
And I had no idea. And it just says, hey. And so, you know, when I pray now, I'm just like, hey, Holy Spirit, it's like, you know, be inside me and take me and just, you know, carve out the stuff that's not working and fill me up, but just guide me. You said it a minute ago. I mean, well, what do they call him? The, you know, the comforter, the spirit of truth, the advocate, the helper. You know, I consider it to be the you know, the navigator of my life. It's just, there's this little book, and I carry it with me sometimes, and I think this is great. And if you haven't got this book or seen this book, it's called The Practice of the Presence of God. It's written by a guy named Brother Lawrence, and Brother Lawrence was around in the 16th century or something like that. A very, very simple man who decided that he was going to devote his life to the practice of being in the presence of God at all times. So the book says, hey, you know, because he was a cook, and if he would drop a crumb, he'd go, oh, you know, God, I'm so sorry I dropped that crumb. You know, and it makes you feel bad because, you know, we can go days, I don't know about you, but I can go days without, you know, without accessing what I need to. But this Brother Lawrence is amazing. But he said this about the Holy Spirit. You mind if I read just a couple
of
sentences?
No, please, please, yeah.
So I'm only doing this because I was so inspired by this. But he described the Holy Spirit this way. He said, those who have the wind of the Holy Spirit in their souls glide ahead even while they sleep. If the vessel of our soul is still being tossed by the winds or storms, we should wake the Lord who has been resting with us all along, and he will swiftly calm the sea. So not only is the Holy Spirit there, and not only is he always working for us, always pushing us, but always advancing us, even when we sleep. And I just think to that, how lucky are we to have someone we can access all the time, that even when we go to sleep, to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to go to sleep now, but if you wouldn't mind working.
Yeah, keep working.
And then when I get up, I'm further along. Yeah. And I'm not further along on worldly things. You know, hey, give me some more money, you know, a new car would be great. Yeah. It's just like, no, help me figure out what I need to be further along on. And just to wake up saying, you know what, I think he did some good work last night, and just be appreciative of that. And you know what, and trust me, and Jeff, you know me, I'm not sitting here saying that I'm in the presence of God all the time. I mean, I get frustrated, you know, we go away, and I'm sure the Holy Spirit catches an attitude on me often, and just as, you know, but I'm telling you what, when he is with me and when I'm feeling it, things are just different. And there's a bit of a zone there that really is hard to explain, which is faith, right?
Yeah. And just when you're describing that, in that, you know, he's not giving up on you. He doesn't give up on me. And I think, you know, I love so much that adage of, you know, you're the only Bible that a lot of people are going to read. And I think that is what that is what you do to your friends, to your clients. You don't give up on them. I've been in rooms with you where it would be easier for everybody to just pull the ripcord and go, yep, it's good enough. Yep, good. Yep, it's in time and you didn't, you know, stumble and you're fine. But you don't. You never do. You never do. And I think it's that same, you know, kind of persistence and diligence and care, I think that is... I think that's so great, and that's you. You're living that out, you know.
So my wife Michelle, who and you know, I hate to bring up her name and talk about her in the form of you know, depression, because it's just you know, it's not who she is. Yeah. Put it that way. But she says about me all the time. She goes, John, you know, like for the most part, people don't like really like you. And I'm saying, well, okay. She goes, well, don't take that the wrong way. And I go, oh, no, how could I?
Yeah, exactly.
No, how could I possibly take that the wrong way? But she says, no. She goes, it's interesting. I've watched you for so many years. She said, you look at people and you watch people and you talk to people. And she goes, you do care. And she said, but they don't want that kind of attention. Right. And she said, you've totally freaked people out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I said, you know, I need to soften up from times, but yeah, there are times when I'm just kind of relentless about some stuff. Yeah. And I do want to get it right. That's and nice. I see people and I see who they are and I see the gifts that they have. And I say, why are you not letting the world see you for who you are? Cause mm-hmm. I can see it, but for whatever reason, you're living in the shadows, it's not the best place for you
to be. Yeah, but again, and that that wasn't that you know, Jesus thing. He said, "Hey, I didn't come here to make friends. I didn't come here to make peace. You know, I came to, you know, challenge people and get them to the truth." So that's great. All right, well, we're gonna lighten up the mood quite a bit here.
This is the zone. This is the zone I want to be in. I don't know why you're messing.
No, we're gonna be. And you would appreciate this. You're a brand guy, and so one of the brand elements of Mana we have a fun segment, horribly branded actually, but it's consistent. And so we've got three questions we ask every guest. Every guest has had ample opportunity to come up with.
Yes, you do telegraph the questions quite well.
Yes,
you say this is what I'm going to ask.
These are the three. These are the three.
I was going to say pass on one because I couldn't come up with it, but I think I've got it. So you
actually earlier because we're actually in a little bit of production letting our listeners on, you know,
by the way, behind I love the curtain, the way you work the board. Like,
do you like that? It's kind of second nature.
I don't think you're doing anything, but just the fact that you act like you are is really impressive.
Hitting buttons here. No, but actually, speaking of these questions, so earlier today, I was able to do another interview and a guest who will remain nameless. Although listeners, you'll hear this. We got to the second question. He says, "You know, I don't like this question." I'm like, "Okay, nobody's ever said that."
Yeah, it wouldn't take me long to figure out.
Exactly. All right, so question number one, fun segment question number one. If Jesus knocked on your door tomorrow and just wanted to hang out for the day, just here in beautiful Denver, what would you do with him?
I did think about that a lot. I think I probably would have punted on that one a little bit. I was reading recently in James, and I think it was James, and you will know that I'm not going to look at my notes here, but... I guess chapter one, maybe the 27th verse or something. But he goes, true religion, pure religion is about taking care of widows and orphans and staying away from being ruined, so to speak, by the world. So if I was going to hang out with Jesus for a day, it's written so many times, widows and orphans, and that's what we, especially as men, we should really pay attention to and lean into. And I guess for that, I would say, I would like to see how he does that. Yeah. I would like to see the look in his eye. I would like to just watch him and just see the grace and just to see people light up. But I would like to watch him do that and to be an example of what I need to be more of.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it just, I mean, if that's where his heart is, I want to take him to see him at his best.
Yeah, that's the ultimate role model. Yeah, for sure. All right, so fun segment question number two. If you could go to church, recovering Lutheran that you are, and you can pick any church you want, but if you could go to church with any other guy, living or dead, and the clarifying thing too, you don't even have known him, so it could be a man of infamy if you choose. But any church, any other guy, living or dead, who would it be?
So you also know me that I love the awkward moment.
Yes, I've been subject to the awkward moment. Yes.
I like when it gets quiet. Yes, and I like when there's no answer, and it's just awesome. So if I was going to take someone to church, I would like to take someone to church that when the pastor or preacher was preaching, I would like someone with me that actually knew and was there when the story that the pastor is telling, he's like, and I would love to be with the Apostle Paul. I mean, he just seemed like, or John or Peter or someone that just went through all that stuff, and someone just kind of called bullshit on what he's doing. Just like, I would like someone to lean over and go, you know, I got to say, that is so not how it happened.
I didn't fall off the horse. that's exaggerated.
But wouldn't that be good?
Yeah,
I mean,
you're
because,
right.
You know, I mean, we can go to church with anybody, but if like, hey, I was there, and I know what he's talking about, and I know his heart is in the right place, but when we get out of church, I'm going to tell you the backstory. Is that good?
Because I love it. Yeah. It's awkward. Hey, right. Right.
And it's good. And yep.
And you get a double benefit from it. You know, it's an interesting church, and you've picked up
truth.
Some truth. Yep. Nice. Yep. All right. Last question. Fun segment. Question number three. If you had one piece of advice, and obviously throughout your life, you've given loads of advice. This is a specific type, kind of advice that you give a young man about just being comfortable living in his faith. What kind of advice would you give him?
Yeah, I mean, simple. I'll just go back to what I said. It's just live in the light. Yeah. Live in the truth. We talk about it at our house all the time. It's just like, hey, if we don't lie to each other, then we're fine. But the minute that we're doing something other than what is true, and we're not truly with each other, we're going to have some problems, and someone's going to be exposed, and there's going to be hard feelings, and there's going to be resentment. So let's just live out in that field in the sunshine and figure it out. I came across a quote the other day. It was from Plato. And I'm like, wow, this is a really cool, but listen to this one. This has everything to do with what we're talking about. It says, we can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. But he went on to say that the real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light.
Wow.
I know.
That's great.
I know. And then there's another quote that said, the worst part about being lied to is when we know that we weren't worth the truth. And I'm just like, oh, that's pretty good too. So, yeah. But they all fall around the same thing. So what advice would I give? I was like, you know what? Just come on, just live the kind of life that people understand who you are and they'll appreciate it. And they'll recognize it and they'll respect it. And you don't have to backtrack. You don't have to try to remember what you said. Yeah, you don't have to cover your tracks. It's just like, hey, this is just what it is. So I'm figuring that part out. And I think it's become a part of my business and it's become a part of my parenting. So
I think it's
good. Yeah, that's the advice. A long answer to a really good question.
That's awesome. Drop the mic, Jensen. Those are some amazing things you shared. Thanks for being here today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Manna. If you have any questions or recommendations for future guests, send them to mannapodcast@gmail.com.